You are about to enjoy a By Maven Media production. I'm your host, Dr. Kelsey Vick, a board-certified orthopedic doctor of physical therapy and a women's health physical therapist. I'm super happy you're here. Now let's wellness girl chat. This next part of our exercise handbag is going to deviate from the series just a little bit because it might not be as essential as we previously thought, especially for women. So let's clear the air a bit on zone 2 training, specifically how zone 2 training affects the female body. Welcome back to Wellness Fixes the Pod. I'm your host, Dr. Kelsey Vick, a board-certified orthopedic doctor of physical therapy and a pelvic floor physical therapist. And this new series we've been doing throughout September, I'm calling the exercise handbag series because we are talking about some of the essentials to include in your exercise handbag, where we all have different handbags. We all have different styles of handbags that we enjoy, that we gravitate towards, just like we have different forms of exercise that we might gravitate towards. But the essentials in our handbag, the essentials in our exercise routine, especially as women, should be pretty similar. We have our phones, our keys, our wallets. Just like in our exercise handbag, we also have some of the essentials that we want as foundations in our exercise routine. So our first two essentials we covered were high intensity interval training / sprint interval training, and then also jump training. High intensity interval training, super controversial. So we dive into that in that episode. And then jump training is the secret sister that no one really talks about. So we chat about jump training and how beneficial it is for us as women in the previous episode. And this week, again, deviating a little bit, talking about zone 2 training and why it might not be as essential as we previously thought, especially for women. So first of all, what is zone 2 training? Zone 2 training is exercising at about 60 to 70% of your max heart rate or max effort for a prolonged period of time. As a reminder, in order to calculate your max heart rate, just do 220 minus your age. So for someone who's 20 years old, 220 minus 20, your estimated max heart rate would be about 200 beats per minute. So exercising in that 60 to 70% range of that heart rate zone will be your zone 2 training. Another way to look at it that we were taught in school is that you can maintain a conversation, but you can't sing. So if you're able to speed walk and talk but not sing, that is that zone 2 moderate intensity training. When it comes to zone 2 training, most of the research done on zone 2 training has been done on men, which is why I wanted to dive into this topic today. Historically speaking, it's been recommended to get about 45 to 90 minutes of zone 2 training 5 times a week. But a lot of that research has been done on the male body. So we'll dive into how that contrasts with the female body. What are the benefits of zone 2 training from an overarching perspective? One, of course, cardiovascular benefits. Heart health is huge, and zone 2 really does help with that. We also have the benefits of fat oxidation and improved metabolism. And then we also can use zone 2 as active recovery and mental health benefits. So those are the overarching benefits of zone 2 training for both men and for women. So what are some reasons we might not want to do zone 2 training and might want to choose another form of cardiovascular exercise? One of the cons is time inefficiency and guilt. It takes a good amount of time to exercise for as long as we need to at 60 to 70% of our max heart rate. It's pretty easy to get to that 60, 70%. So in order to get those benefits that we talked about, the cardiovascular benefits, the metabolic benefits, all of that, we need to exercise for a very long period of time. And someone might feel a little bit guilty not reaching that 90 minutes, 5 times a week recommendation that we've historically adopted. There's also limited stimulus for adaptation, especially as we age. It is not hard enough exercise to help with muscle mass or bone mineral density, which we've already discussed are both things that we want to focus on, especially as we age. And it's not easy enough to be active recovery. So it falls in this sort of like gray middle zone. With prolonged exercise, we can have sustained cortisol increases. So if you're someone who has a high baseline level of cortisol anyways, whether through work stress, family stress, life stress, just you're a chronic zone 2 exerciser where you're doing that 90 minutes 5 times a week at 60 to 70% of your max heart rate, you can have elevated cortisol levels for a more prolonged period of time. So extended moderate intensity exercise, especially when combined with other stressors in life, can lead to elevated cortisol levels, especially in women. Now let's zoom in a little bit more specifically on why the female physiology differs from the male physiology when it comes to zone 2 training. Women in general, as we mentioned in the first essentials series, have natural superior mitochondrial function than men do. We have more oxidative, meaning they use oxygen, type 1 skeletal muscle fibers that have a high mitochondrial density. And we actually have about a third greater mitochondrial respiration as women compared to men. Women are also much more metabolically flexible than men. We switch between utilizing carbs and fats as fuel quicker than men. So a lot of the time, men will do zone 2 training to switch from that glucose, that carbohydrate fuel utilization to fat for fat loss. As women, we're actually really good at switching. And so we don't necessarily need as long of that time at that moderate intensity to switch to that fat utilization. We do it relatively quickly compared to a male. We're able to oxidize more fat and less carbs than men during prolonged exercise at a similar intensity. We maintain a better cellular energy homeostasis during exercise stress, and we have better built-in fat burning efficiency, which is basically that fat oxidation. We have a greater abundance of fatty acid transporters, meaning we're better able to use those fatty acids because we have more of that transporter to utilize those fatty acids as energy. We also have more stored fat within our muscles, which is easier to access compared to fat stored in other places. And so we're better able to tap in to the fat stored in muscle to utilize that for energy. And we have better mechanisms for utilizing fat as fuel too. So because of our mitochondrial density being higher than men, we also have more metabolic flexibility, able to switch between carbohydrates and fats. Zone 2 might not be as necessary for us. Since a few of the primary pros and reasons to do zone 2 training is to train the mitochondria and utilize fat for body composition changes, the fact that our bodies are already structured to do that makes zone 2 maybe less of a priority for us as women. It's not that it's bad for us, not at all. It's just that when building our exercise handbags of essentials, the essentials we need in our routine, why would we include something that takes so much time and that our body is already naturally adapted for, rather than incorporating some of the other essentials that we actually need, like high intensity interval training and sprint interval training, that our bodies aren't as set up for as our male counterparts? High intensity interval training and sprint interval training have also been shown to be more beneficial in the cardiovascular and metabolic realms with less of a time commitment. So overall, it's about bang for your buck. If you really enjoy zone 2 cardio, do it. By all means, it's wonderful. As long as you have the appropriate cool down and the appropriate recovery in between, zone 2 is great. And I'm not discouraging it at all. But if we're really trying to build that exercise handbags of purely essentials that we can do across the board, it might be better bang for your buck to incorporate another form of cardiovascular and metabolic based activities like high intensity interval training and sprint interval training. So there are exceptions, of course. If you're training for something long duration, lower intensity or moderate intensity like a marathon, of course you need to do zone training. Specificity of training does matter. So if you're training for something that is moderate intensity, long duration, you are going to want to include zone 2 training in your current routine for that training block, for that race or event that you're training for. As I was researching for this episode, I came across another sort of training mindset when it comes to cardiovascular training that I thought would be interesting to you guys too. It basically talks about polarized training for cardiovascular training, where if you can think of polarized opinions or polar opposites, they're on either side of the spectrum. So this research argues that especially for women, it's really good if we spend the majority of our time in that black and white zone on either end of the spectrum, not as much in that gray area, not as much in that moderate intensity area. They advocate for spending time on either side of the extreme. So 75 to 80% lower intensity training, less than 10% of moderate intensity training like zone 2, so not as much of that gray area. And then 15 to 20% high intensity training, mixed, of course, with strength training. And so thinking of that polarized training model being super beneficial for women, knowing that we're spending time on either sides of the extremes and not as much in that gray area, that middle zone. So there are a lot of studies showing benefit in the 20s and 30s, 40s and 50s, and 50 plus age ranges for women utilizing this polarized training, especially with improving your metabolism, improving fat utilization, body fat reduction, and improved power and endurance. So thinking of that as an alternative to this prolonged moderate intensity work, working on either side of that spectrum with that polarized training model. In addition to the essentials in my exercise handbag, I also like to have foundational supplements. It can be hard to know who to trust, which is why I always recommend Thorne. I have pointed so many people towards their creatine because they go through the extra time, money, and energy to get it NSF certified for sport, the gold standard certification recommended by many of the dietitians and scientists we've had here on the pod. Check out the link below to support the pod and message me for 30% off your entire Thorn order. Now let's get back to the pod. So how do we incorporate it into our exercise handbag, knowing what we know now and knowing that zone 2 is maybe a little bit more optional than what we previously thought, especially for women? If you want to include zone training because you enjoy it, not necessarily training for anything specific, limit it to about 1 to 2 sessions per week. You can also use it for active recovery in between your main sessions. It shouldn't be the primary focus of your cardiovascular training, but of course you can use it for mental health reasons. If you want to try more of a polarized training model, exercising in those black and white zones and not as much in that gray zone, shoot for 30 minutes of walking each day. Again, that's that lower intensity range. And then 15 to 25 minute high intensity interval training sessions about 2 to 3 times per week on non-consecutive days, as we talked about in our Essentials course in our first episode of the Exercise Handbag Essentials series. And if you do want to exercise in that zone 2 range because you enjoy it, because it's easy to do with a friend, always think, am I in zone 2? Am I able to carry on a conversation without singing? That's a really good gauge as to know whether or not you truly are in that zone 2 range. So jogging with friends, cycling around your neighborhood at a leisurely pace, dance cardio, sculpt flow classes, Pilates flow classes, all ways you can incorporate zone 2 training if you enjoy it, if it's something that you really love to do, knowing that it's not necessarily essential and definitely not a foundational element for our exercise handbags, especially as women. I know that probably surprised some of you. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you learned more why our bodies as women might not respond as well to zone 2 training as men, or might not need it as much as our male counterparts do. But I hope you learned something. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you're enjoying this series so far. I'd love to hear from you guys to see what you've learned and how you're incorporating it into your own routines. But thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you guys again on the next episode of Wellness Fixes the Pod.